turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Been teaching over in Fort Worth for a number of months, and we'll get the short version here. Ephesians chapter 6 is talking about the armor of God and what it is to stand. See, the Holy Spirit, like right here, you know, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. So, you're standing, but you're not standing. Right? You're standing, but you're not standing. Who's standing? Jesus is standing. I'm just standing in His standing. I'm not the stander. I'm not the one with the strength. I'm not the one with the power. I'm not the one with the ability. He and I are joined. Amen? You're joined with Christ. Every day you need to see that you're joined with Christ. Every day you need to see that you are joined together with Jesus as the Christ. Not just Jesus as the man who walked around, because over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, you know, hereafter know we no man after the flesh. Even though we once knew Christ after the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. He's more than flesh. He's more than your buddy who's going to help you out of the pit. He is, in fact, the living God residing on the inside of you. He causes you to stand. Amen? He causes you to stand. This is powerful because you're changing your mind. You're moving from one degree of glory to the next in your understanding of what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has done in you. Amen? I mean, you know, He didn't just come to give you a better life. So much of the evangelical message and even the charismatic message has now gone to have a better life. You know, the only reason to have a more supplied and prosperous life is to be able to have the resource to declare the gospel further and longer and louder. Amen? I mean, if I have a loudspeaker that costs $100, it reaches further than, you know, if I don't have one. Or if I've got a airplane ticket, I probably can go a little further than if I was walking. I could probably get there faster. I can go faster, longer, louder. But that's the only reason for supplies. Amen? Supplies to keep your body strengthened, like to eat. It's good to eat. What I tell you, it keeps your gospel machine going. Amen? Because this is all you need, is you and Jesus. This is really all you need, is you and Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen? Isn't that true?
Amen.
I mean, that's the reason you're here. Well, what reason am I here? Raise kids, have a job. No, declare the gospel. Be a demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. You see, you're no longer of this world. All right? Let's look over here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's find out what it is. Now, to stand is to stand in that truth. Is to stand in the fact that I am one with Christ, and one, being one with Him, He is manifesting His life through me. All right? Finally, my brethren, that means the girls too, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So your strength, no matter what we're talking about. Now, you may be thinking, okay, that scripture talks about preaching or talking about sharing the gospel. It's talking about every part of your life. Anything that comes up in your face, He's talking about that is being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So we stand, as it's going to talk further about that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If we looked over at Zechariah chapter 4, you can just write these down. You may not want to move that fast. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. The hands of the Lord laid the foundation, and the hands of the Lord will finish it. the good work that he began in you, he will complete. The word says complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, his return. So Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So here he's talking to Zerubbabel about rebuilding the house of the Lord in the Old Testament. It says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. You shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? How many of you are small in your own eyes? For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, and with those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. This is what God is doing in His church. He's building. He's building a building. Amen? Hallelujah. Now look over here, back over to Ephesians chapter 6. So it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The schemes of the devil. The wiles of the... You remember Wile E. Coyote? And the Roadrunner? He's the Wile E. Coyote. He always had a plan. Well, that's the devil. You can just picture the devil. He's Wile E. Coyote. He's always getting smashed by his own dynamite or by his own 10,000-pound deal. You know? But he always keeps getting up. And you're the Roadrunner. Pew! Me. That's right. Thank you. Thank you for those sound effects. You're the Roadrunner. Just always getting out in the nick of time.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. That's what that scripture in Zechariah was supposed to say when I went to it. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Not by my strength, not by my brains, not by my ability to kind of sort it out, figure it out. Well, what are we going to do here? We've got trouble today. What are we going to do here? Anybody ever had trouble today? What are we going to do here? How are we going to work this out? You know, God gives you wisdom. He said in James chapter 1, said He'll give you wisdom. He won't even slap you around because you didn't know. He said He abradeth not. That means He didn't scold you. How come you didn't know? I thought I told you 10 times. You know He doesn't say that? You know He doesn't say that? He doesn't say that. You're seeking His face. He's bringing you wisdom. Lord, thank You for wisdom. Thank You for wisdom. So He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. What? Stand. And again, who do you stand in? You stand in Christ. You stand in Him. You stand, you know, here in the power of Christ, I stand. Now, so He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, stand against. And really that word there in the Greek is talking about resisting. To stand against or to resist the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. There's two kinds of schemes of the devil. One of them is actually coming to you like either naturally, physically, kind of in your circumstances. The other one comes against your mind. The other one comes against your, against you just for fear. Just say, what if? Huh? Sometimes the enemy comes in just with a what if. That's enough to just knock you over, blow you over. Because maybe you're in a situation where the what if is all it takes. You know, hey, look, they're just about over the edge. Just blow them off the end. That's the enemy. God does not do that. God does not come in just in time to blow you off the edge. God, in fact, comes in to what? Lift Peter up out of the water. Peter stepped out in faith and stepped out on the word of the Lord out of the boat, onto the water. But then he saw the waves boisterous. He saw the waves jumping. He saw the waves scary. He saw the trouble coming. But then he said, he remembered, Jesus, save me. Isn't that powerful that he didn't just sink? He actually thought in the last moment, you thought he was in bigger trouble than that, but he remembered. He said, Jesus, he stepped out on the word of the Lord, and then when he got in trouble, after after the trouble got a little louder, after he figured out, you know what, I am not going to survive this. This trouble, I cannot get out of this trouble on my own. Jesus! So he cries out. Have you got your little horn that you can cry out? You got to always cry out to Jesus. Don't be strong. Amen? Be strong in the power of His might. Be strong in the power of His might. So, every day, be strong in the power of His might. Now, how do you do that? Well, you know what you do it? You do it day by day. You do it day by day. You do it consulting His promise day by day. Not, you know, just in the day of trouble, right? Amen? Not just in the day of trouble, but we live by. Well, not escape by. It doesn't say we escape by every word that's coming out of the mouth of God. It says we live by every word that's come constantly. That word indicates a continual flow of word coming out of the Father's mouth. We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so now we live by that. We daily walk and live and listen for the word of the Lord. So that, what is it to put on the whole armor of God? Well, let's talk about that. Now he talks about the wiles of the devil, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. So, and you have to understand that we wrestle not against people, companies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, wow, that just sounds really out of this world. That's why he put it in here, because you wouldn't have thought of it. See, and, you know, it was amazing how fast people forgot about the world that they couldn't see, even in the Old Testament. I mean, they in the book of Genesis, after they quit walking with God, quit knowing to walk with God, they just began to walk in their flesh. They began to walk in this world, and they totally forgot God. We talked about that before Noah. And then on into the book of Judges, they'd done it again. Here we had the best people, Noah. We had the best people. Noah, I mean the very best. Noah's kids. Now you have the book of Judges, you know, they're just doing their own thing again. They're just going off. They just forget God. If you don't live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, you just forget the guy. But he's always left a witness, hasn't he? He's always left a witness. So we just begin to live by our own wits. We begin to live by our own flesh because we have the knowledge of good and evil. You know, it became a problem for you. Amen? Having the knowledge of good and evil actually became a problem. Because then you got to decide. Before you ate that tree, before your mama ate that tree, you only had one source of information. It was God. You only lived by every word that came out of the mouth of God. But then when you decided, okay, now, you know what? I think it'd be good for me to go ahead and make a decision here. I mean, it is. I just hate to bother the guy. No, it wasn't your humility. It wasn't her humility. It's the fact that, yeah, I'd like to make a decision. I'd like to make a decision once in a while. That's how the devil got turned around. He wanted to make a decision. He didn't believe that God had his best interest at heart. Amen? See, God loves you, and He's got everything working together for your good. There's nothing that it can't work any other way. And then it may appear that things are working against you, but it cannot turn out any other way. Well, I could name you 25 people where it didn't work out that way. You know what? I don't live by that word. I live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. I don't live by that word. I don't live by that testimony. Well, I know 5 people that didn't work out right. They just died. You know, I know more that it didn't work out that way. But it's because they trusted in God. They trust for those. Everything is working together for your good to those that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. That is, they're living by every word. That doesn't mean they're behaving themselves. What it means is they believed God, just like Abraham, and it was counted to them for righteousness. You believed God, and it was counted to you for righteousness. All that means is everything kicked into place. Everything kicked in and it works your way. When you believe God, all things are working together for your good. Just don't give up. Just don't give in. Walk according to this. Walk according to the promise that says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Okay, let's read that. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, people, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who you're battling against. You're battling against these words that are against the gospel, against the truth. Wherefore, for that purpose, for that reason, verse 13, Ephesians 6, take to you the whole armor of God, which you'll describe shortly, that you may be able to withstand or stand against or resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Having done all, to stand. So in other words, so putting on the whole armor that you may be able to stand, and therefore stand. That's His promise, isn't it? He said, okay, not only are you putting on the armor so that you may be able to stand, but having done all, when you get it all on, stand. Because He is able to make you stand. There's another scripture in here. I don't know if I'll get to it today. But He is able to make you stand. He is able to make you stand. See, I love this scripture. And you can go throughout, and I found tons of scriptures having to do with what it is to stand. Stand fast. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. He has made you absolutely free. You are a free man. You are a free woman. Free from the power of this world. Free from the power of sin. Free from the power of death. You are totally, absolutely free. You've been plucked out of this world as it lives and as it sits. You have been plucked out of this world, and yet you live in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said it when He began His ministry back in Mark. He said, the kingdom of heaven is come to you. The kingdom of heaven is now here. Don't fret. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. And guess what? You're hearing about it. You heard about it first. Is the kingdom of heaven is come to you. Now, so I'm going to live in heaven. Anybody with me? Anybody want to live in heaven? Okay, there you are. You're already there. If you said I do, I'm there. Okay? Now, you're looking around going, well, where's the parade? You know, where's the balloons? Where's the cake? Well, we're fixing that up for you. But right now, we're just getting more, we're just beating the bushes and getting more people. We're just beating the bushes and getting more people in. It's like joining a political campaign. Wow, this is a great campaign. Where's all the workers? Well, glad you're here. Glad you're here. The campaign has just begun. The kingdom of heaven has just made its first foothold in the earth. And you're the first 12 guys. So, praise the Lord. May be tough on your flesh, but you know what? Wow, what a benefit you get. What a blessing you get. See, this is what we're doing, is that we're seeing the kingdom of heaven come into completion. And it's not because we're doing something. It's not because we're doing something. It's because He's doing something. The greatest thing to understand is it's not because of the big church and the big building and the big thing and the big ministry. It's because just of the power of God in you showing up. That's all it is. The kingdom of heaven is not about a big crowd. The kingdom of God is about one thing. Christ in you. That's it. It's just Christ in you. I mean, we're not down on the other thing, but it does get kind of burdensome. I mean, have you heard the Bible where He says a guy with even just a wife, he cares about his wife and how he may please his wife. But a man who's belongs to the Lord with no wife, that's just free to hear the Lord. He didn't even have to buy the Lord a birthday gift. He didn't have to take the Lord out for an anniversary. He didn't have to take her out on a cruise. Him out on a cruise. God doesn't care about going out on a cruise. He can take Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There's some godly women. Now watch this, is that, see, the Lord doesn't need all your stuff. What he wants to do is just come live in you and produce little gospels. Produce little baby gospels. Huh? Doesn't he? Isn't that what he wants to do? He just wants to carry you around and show you off. Hey, praise the Lord. You know, and did you know that you're a grand, you're his favorite thing to show off? You're his favorite thing to show off. I mean, when Margaret goes down to South Texas, go down to the valley, I like to say it, I got to say it right, you know, down to the valley. Is that how y'all, because that's not South Texas. South Texas is somewhere else. The valley is, it's the valley. Don't you mess with the valley. South Texas is somewhere else. Right? Yeah, because if you're down there, you're kind of a dummy if you don't know how to say it right. So, when he takes her down there, to the valley. He just loves to show her off. It's just like her daddy loves to show her off. He says her heavenly father loves to show her off and demonstrate his love through her. Now, she doesn't know that sometimes. She's not thinking that way. But, you know what? When you go there, you think that. Now, you don't do anything about it. You just think on that. You just think on that, just like this. He's just putting on the whole armor of God, and when you got it on, he's just doing stuff. And you don't even know what he's doing. But it's just because you are fellowshipping with your father there, then he begins to, it shows up like a big light bulb. Amen? I'm just telling you. When you're loving God and walking with him, I don't care if you think you're a light bulb, you are. Because people look at you and they go, you ever seen a light like that or something coming, just something coming off of, off of a light, some light or something happening, and you just didn't know quite, what is that? And you go in to investigate, you know. Might be a little spider crawling on top of the light bulb. You know what I'm saying? Some little thing that looks a little bit out of the ordinary, and you can just barely see it, and you go to investigate. That's what God does. He does that with you. And somebody comes and investigates, and they begin to just look at Randy like, what is that? You know? And what is that about that guy? You know, don't know what that is. But all of a sudden, you've got their attention. God loves to get people's attention. Amen? And listen, as you put on the whole armor of God, he begins to get somebody's attention. Amen? He begins to get somebody's attention. And you don't know how he's going to use it, but he's going to use it. So you don't worry about that. That's not your part. You just open your mouth and always be ready to give an answer for the faith that's in you. Why? Because you got this word on the inside of you. All right? So take to you the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist trouble, all the schemes of the devil, in the evil day, and having done all, stand. So you're becoming able by the word of the Lord which he has implanted in you, the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. The engrafted word is able to save your soul. Your spirit's already there. Your spirit's already in heaven. Your spirit's already born again. You have a spirit. You have a soul. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. Your soul is being saved little by little, line upon line, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, 30, 60, 100 fold. Your soul is being transformed out of this mindset, being renewed, Romans 12, that you might prove or demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God is growing you up. Amen? Say, I'm growing up. See, I mean, just look at Judah. Brazos. I mean, they're growing up. Look at Grace. She's growing up. She's growing up. You know, when you see kids, they're growing up. You know, it's amazing how they grow up. Guess what? You're growing up. You're growing up from your insides. Say, I'm growing up. You come on, I'm growing up. See, the people who don't want to say that, I don't know, they just like, you know, refuse to say stuff that the pastor says because they don't quite know what he's talking about. But trust me, I'm not gonna have you sign a check later, you know, or buy 30 boxes of soap after we're done. But I am selling electricity. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Praise the Lord. Hope nobody's selling electricity here. I just beat you to it. So he said, having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins, here's putting on the armor now. Having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins, that's almost like your private area. You know, having your loins girt about with your, that's also the place where life reproduces from you in the natural. Well, that where life is being reproduced is girt about with truth. And God is guarding your mind. Later he says, girding up the loins of your mind. So your mind is a very important part of your living on this earth. Because if your mind gets messed up and thinks it's in charge, you're in big trouble. Because really, it's either God or the devil who's in charge of your mind. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not you. You know, you either live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, or what's the other alternative? You live by every word that comes out of the mouth of the devil. I mean, it's just apparent. You know, it's just obvious. Amen? It's just obvious because your nature is downhill until you get born again. Then it's uphill. Your nature is to glorify God. But you're used to living like heck. You know, you're used to living like this world is king. That's what you're used to living like. But God, see, He's coming in and bringing you this whole smorgasbord of new equipment that He's installed. And what He's wanting to do now is implement that new system. He's wanting to implement all this new software. He's not wanting to get that loaded on you because you've got trash in your memory. Amen? You got trash in your memory. Anybody ever have a computer that really works slow and bad? And it just doesn't get anything done? Well, that's because you got a bunch of trash in it. You didn't know what to put in it. You didn't know how to load it. Lynn, know what I'm talking about? You get all this garbage in there, and it slows that thing down, and pretty much you just have to throw it out. Or wipe it clean. You know what Jesus does? He wipes it clean. He doesn't throw it out. He wipes it clean. Then he reinstalls. He reinstalls a new program. Says, I love you. I love you. I love you. And nobody can take that away from you. And you don't have to do anything to get it, Phil. You don't have to do anything to get it. And we need to meditate upon these things day and night. That's putting on the armor. Putting on the armor is to meditate upon His promise. Putting on the armor is to take God's word and implant it and allow it to have authority in your mind. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about. This is verse 14 of chapter 6, Ephesians. Stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Over in Isaiah chapter 59. Let me look at that real quick. See if that's got what I want. Yeah. Okay, Isaiah 59, chapter 59, verse 16, it says, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Verse 17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to stop there. So that scripture in Ephesians talking about that armor is coming out of Isaiah. It's a prophecy. It's a completed prophecy that God is putting onto you a breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. First, back here in verse 15 of chapter 6, Ephesians, it says, and your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able, there's that be able, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So these are the elements that he's talking about that are the armor of God. Your loins are girt about with His truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate is protecting your heart, protecting your life. What is it? It's His righteousness, isn't it? His righteousness protects me because there's nothing that can reach me. There's no destruction that can reach me in my spirit. I am alive just like He is forevermore. Do you know you're alive forevermore?
Hallelujah.
You're alive forevermore. I mean, we think, you know, that eventually your life on the earth in a human body is going to come to an end. But that's not your life. That's just this life. That's just this one. This one comes to an end. But the one that is living right now on the inside of you never ends. Never ends. And so now, so you're learning to live in that one. You're learning to what it is to live in that life that never ends. That's hard to do in this flesh, isn't it? That's just like, wow. How do you get there? Well, you get there by meditating on this promise. Because this is what He's showing you. This is what He's giving you. He's giving you He's transforming your mind out of the kingdom of the darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, which is into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to go through some more of these scriptures and what it is to stand. And it's Galatians chapter 1, or 5, excuse me. So back up one book. And I'm going to just share with you some of the scriptures that he is sharing about causing you to stand, causing you to change, to be transformed into that image. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast. Again, that's that scripture is anthestemi. Say it, anthestemi. It's not like you're going to remember that one, but... Okay, and it's to stand fast or to resist. Stand fast is to resist. Like, set yourself in a position to resist. Now, your resistance is not in your own strength, but it's based on the weapons that you've been assigned by the Lord. You have weapons assigned by the Lord. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It is the girdle that protects your loins. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those are shoes that are not, they're like steel-toed boots. They're not like moccasins. Amen? You know, it's not like you're wearing moccasins. You know, somebody's going to step on them. But you're wearing shoes that your feet cannot be stomped. Because if you've got the gospel of peace, nobody can stop you. Nobody can stop the gospel. The gospel is not just a sweet little message. The gospel is the good news. The gospel sets people free. The gospel busts chains. It's like a big pair of bolt cutters. Amen? It sets people free. The gospel sets you free because you are bound before the gospel comes to you. Jesus said, I am come, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, to give strength to the lame who cannot walk. That's what the Holy Spirit has done in you. Same ministry that God gave to Jesus, He gave to you. Amen? You're anointed to preach the gospel. It's not just for the 12. Remember, after the 12, He sent out what? Other 70. Guess who those were? Phil, Randy, Lynn, Alex, Kathy. The other 70. He sent out other 70. Gave them authority over devils.
Hallelujah.
I thought the apostles only had authority over devils, and Jesus only had authority over that big bad one. You know, we've been talking about that in the house church. You have authority over the devil. Amen? You have authority over the devil. You can cast out devils. You know we still do that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because they're still around. And they still think they still think they have a right to be there. You know they do if you let them. I mean, Jesus come up to one. He said, come out of him. And he came out. He didn't have any business. Over Mark 1, there's one in the synagogue. There's one in the church meeting. I mean, not a church, obviously, you know, I'm not specifically talking about the church of Jesus, but you know, he was in a meeting of believers in Jehovah. He was there in that meeting. And that guy jumped to, the first thing he did, Jesus walked in and the guy said, "Hey, I know who you are." They'd never had that happen before. You know, some guy stood up in the middle of a nice, quiet, sweet church meeting and said, "Hey, you there, I know who you are. Did you come to torment us before the time?" I mean, you know, those guys stand up. When you walk in, because you know the Lord, and because you are filled with the Holy Ghost, the guys run scared. "Well, I never had that happen to me." Well, get back in the Scripture. Begin to pray in tongues. Begin to pray in other tongues. Don't just pray in other tongues in church. Do it at home. Pray in other tongues at home. Do it every day. Don't just wait till worship time. Amen? I said, don't just wait till worship time. Amen. You know, I'll read the scripture that says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Talks about how the pastors are telling you what to do. "Not that we have dominion over your faith." Well, you need to do what I say, brother. I'm the pastor and you're not. No, that's not it. It says, "Not whether we have dominion over your faith, we're helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand." You don't stand because your pastor's up or down. You stand by faith. Amen? You stand by faith. We're just helpers of your joy. Hey, I'm reading you the scripture that you don't like, but I'm going to help your joy today. I'm going to get you to say something you don't like to say because you don't like saying stuff in church. But I'm going to have you say it anyway because I'm a helper of your joy. You ever helped your kids? You ever helped your kids? Whip your belt off? We're helpers of your joy, honey. We're going to help you. You need a little help right now on your backside. Did they ever help you? Yeah, they're helpers of your parents are helpers of your joy. They saved you from getting hurt. God loves to save you from getting hurt. Amen? He's a helper of your joy. That's what pastors do. We're helpers of your joy. We give you the word that you don't want to hear. But your spirit wants to hear it, but your flesh doesn't want to give up of whatever it is that's not likely to give up. But so, we're helpers of your joy. All right? So, here we are. Now, let's go over here to, where was I? I was on Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast. Again, that's that same scripture, same word we talked about, is stand fast, resisting in the liberty wherewith Christ has already made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go backwards and remember how great it was to complain about all your troubles. It just felt so good to put sugar on my troubles. Make them taste better. You know, just sweeten them up. Sweeten my troubles and you know, there's a way you can make troubles to where they're kind of palatable. You know? It's kind of like you love misery. You love taking care of your wounds. Jesus wants to heal them. It's just what you're used to. It's all you could do is make them feel better. But see, God wants to do something bigger. He wants to do something better. He doesn't want to just salve your wounds. He wants to heal them. And put you out back on the road on your feet. And he wants to bring forth the good news to those who have none. He's going to use you to demonstrate his glory right through the middle of that problem, right through the middle of that trouble. And we don't know how that's going to end up. But you know what? I know one thing. You're going to end up in heaven. You're going to end up in the presence of God at the end of this life. I don't know what you're going to end up doing tomorrow. I don't know what you're going to end up doing at the end of this month, this week, this year. I don't know what the end of the economy is going to be. I don't know who's going to be the president. I don't know who's going to run the world, well, except for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
So all of these things are things that we listen to and we're used to, and we're all used to them. We're all used to looking for the future and looking to find out how things are going to end up. But you know what? God's not worried about that. And He's, for you, for your sakes, He's wanting to deliver you from that. He says, stand fast in the liberty. You know what? Part of that liberty is liberty from this world. Liberty from the things that people say you have to be or do. But when we have these things taken from us, humanly, it's one of the most very difficult things that there is. But then to go back and fall back on the Word, to fall back on the Word, and His promise does, is inclusive of, I may lose my life. Whatever part of my life that might be. I'm losing this or I'm losing that. It appears that I'm losing something. In the natural, I am losing something. We've dealt with things in our family that, you know, it's just like, wow, how come we had to deal with that? How come we had to do that? But I'm never going to allow the Word of God to be taken from me. Because I know that is the truth. And there's nothing else. There's nothing else. That's what I will tell you. You know, and you may look at me and say, well, you were crying yesterday. Well, it was like that little girl. You know, she ran home crying when she fell down. You know, the trial of parents. I mean, it appears that you're doing mighty, mighty things in the Lord, and you are. You have mighty, mighty things in the Lord. And you have that armor on. But some days you do go back, Jesus, help! But you know what? He lifts me up. He strengthens me. He gives me power. I'm living in the power of God. I'm living in the glory of God. I don't care what comes my way. You're just making a story up. No, I'm telling you what my conviction is in the Lord. This is my conviction in the Lord. That no matter what cometh against me, it cannot have me. I will not be defeated. I won't quit. Jesus Christ loves me. He never made a promise. So I'm not going to become entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, I may mess up and I may make a wrong decision, but you know what? That doesn't rule my life. That wrong decision isn't going to rule me. If just because I walk into a bad situation or make a bad decision in a bad moment, that doesn't rule me. Amen? That's another thing you need to get rid of, is that all the stuff that says, I made a mistake and therefore I'm having to pay for it. Well, maybe there's a consequence out there, but God's not making you pay for it. Amen? You are totally forgiven, and you just keep moving and keep walking, keep praising, keep knowing that He has set you free. Look at a couple more. I gotta go to Fort Worth today, you know. Pastor Jim is in Baton Rouge.
Wow.
So y'all be praying for him.
Praise God.
Amen.
Baton Rouge.
Yeah, down in Baton Rouge, you got a gig.
Praise Jesus.
He's got a gig down in Baton Rouge. He's playing the guitar. No. No, he's ministering down there as a pastor. Amen. So just keep him in prayer while he's down there. And that's a blessing. And let me read you a couple more scriptures. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation, your life, your manner of living, everything that everybody seeth, thank you, be as it becomes the gospel, as it looks like the gospel. Be reflective of the gospel. Everything in your life, that is, you know, your declaration of where you're standing, let your stance be in conjunction, joined with the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So write that one down. Go meditate on that one there. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Woo! That's not just Paul, that's Jesus. Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for. You're longed for, you know that? Do you know you're longed for? Oh, man, you know, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. So-and-so's coming. Glory to God, coming home. We got a party. We got a party set up. We're ready to go. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect. His prayer is that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. God is setting you up through every word of His, your loins girt about with truth, girding up the loins of your mind. That is, changing your mind. Causing your mind to be changed. That's what is necessary for your mind to be changed. Out of this world, into the kingdom of His dear Son. Well, hallelujah. God is good.
Amen.
God is good.
Pastor, what was the last verse?
Last verse was Philippians 4:1. Or Colossians 4:12, sorry. Colossians 4:12. Philippians 1:27 and 4:1. All right. Well, God is good. Write these down. Psalms. These are three psalms. Ready? Write them down. 4:4, not 44. 4 verse 4. Psalm 30 verse 7. And Psalm 119 verse 61. Go back and read those. All right. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you're blessed today.